The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Good afternoon and welcome to Family First with five-time author and top speaker Randy Rolfe. Your family may be facing a variety of issues that you'd like addressed. No two families in the world face identical problems, but Randy has seen almost all of the difficulties families today face, and she and her expert guests have the answers that you seek. Now, here is your host, Randy Rolfe.
Hello and welcome to Family First. I'm really excited about our show today. We're going to be talking about being a safety-aware consumer. And our show's growing like 40% a month. It's very exciting, and I just want to get all these wonderful experts out to as many families as possible. With all the news about car recalls, toy recalls, drug recalls, and more, it's easy to either panic or become complacent about how to protect your family from unseen risks in our everyday lives. Many of us are doing home renovations or even buying a new home with materials we don't even know about. And what about our children at daycare, school, playground, or college? My guest this week is the Honorable Nancy Stewart, former chairman of the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission. She served also as the first consumer advisor to the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture. Ms. Stewart is the nation's foremost authority on safety, especially in the home, and is author of three highly acclaimed books, Your Home Safe Home, Safe Living in a Dangerous World, and Safety in You. Ms. Stewart will share with us her best advice on how to be a safety-aware consumer of products for your home and family, and she also has some fascinating stories to share about the products that fill our modern lives. So before we get to Nancy, I want to give you more of her background. The Honorable Nancy Harvey Stewart is former chairman of the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission and served in safety-related issues in five different presidential administrations. Her first book, Safety in You, received worldwide distribution, and her second, Safe Living in a Dangerous World, is recognized as, quote, the most comprehensive book on safety issues. Her third book, Your Home Safe Home, is considered one of the most outstanding books on home safety issues. So I hope you guys will get a hold of these. She was acclaimed for having executed the largest and most effective consumer product safety recall in U.S. history with 50 million pieces of jewelry containing lead, and they were distributed in 7,000 machines around the country. She's been named one of the best public servants ever by Gallagher Report and earned the prestigious Margaret Dana Award from the American Society of Testing Materials. Seeking the implementation of at the local level of her efforts at the national level, she became a top producing realtor in the DC and Virginia area and has been a leader also in realtor education, green efforts, and women's issues. So welcome, Nancy. I'm so excited to be talking with you today.
Randy, it's a pleasure to be on your program, and thank you for such a nice introduction. I appreciate that.
Oh, sure. You have such a wealth of experience and knowledge. How did you first become interested in home safety issues?
Well, it's interesting. My background, actually, I started in the retail industry a few years ago, and then I moved into the real estate world, and then I decided, you know, I really want to be involved in government. I really want to start affecting some policy issues. So I actually started at the Department of Agriculture, where an opportunity presented itself to be the first consumer advisor to the Secretary of Agriculture, who then was Secretary Earl Butz. And I just felt that there was a tremendous need for the consumer voice to be heard in agriculture policy. And that sounds pretty I would say it sounds like a great opportunity, but also was a great task. And it was incredibly interesting to see how the government of the Agriculture Department, both at the national and state and local level, as well as the industry, really started focusing on the consumer. Once I started putting some new challenges before them, because how in the world can you be producing agriculture if you really don't know what that consumer wants? So that's how I got started. And then I moved on to have my own company for a few years, again representing the consumer voice, but then I moved into the opportunity that I thought really was a great opportunity, and that was to be chairman of the Consumer Product Safety Commission. But I'm a change agent, Randy. And it
yes.
was at that point that the administration under President Reagan told me that, Nancy, we're going to close that agency down. And I said, you cannot close the only agency in the government that works on safety issues for the consumer down. And I said, what I'll do is I will go over and start reprioritizing the department, start focusing on some specific issues, and start working to bring the industry and the consumers into what I call the triangle of really making public policy work. So instead of shutting it down, they got behind me. They nominated me as chairman, and I started, and it was a fabulous opportunity.
Oh, that's so exciting. What, like you said, an agent of change, and I had no idea. You basically saved the agency and saved the consumer voice in the government. That's awesome. And now they're talking about a consumer agency for the financial world, and that all grew out of that, you standing up for us. Thank you.
Well, the financial agency actually is modeled very much like the Consumer Product Safety Commission, with one difference. The Consumer Product Safety Commission has by statute 5 members, 1 chairman and 4 commissioners. The financial agency only has 1. And I think one of the reasons that they're getting some feedback negatively on this new agency is because a lot of the legislators would like to see more than one voice in that financial agency. And I think that would be a very wise move because, you know, the financial industry, as you know right now, is quite a disaster. And
yes.
I think if you had at least 3 commissioners looking at it, I think that they could get that thing through and start moving some effective changes.
Yeah, that's a great, great suggestion. Yes, I assumed that they would be modeling it after the Consumer Product Safety Commission because it has worked so well. And I'm so excited to be talking to the leader here. And I think that's great advice. I really hope that Financial Commission goes through. On a lighter note, I did want to ask you about you first instituted the White House inaugural candlelight dinners, which are now a White House tradition. Can you just tell us a little bit about that before we get into the home safety issues?
Oh, certainly. Actually, my prelude, Randy, to my government experience was that I was really involved in the in the campaigns and also in the inaugurals. And when I became, after President Nixon won the second election, they then did his inaugural. And so they asked me if I'd like to be in charge of one of the events. And I said, sure, I would be delighted to be one of your leaders. And I came up with this idea to do candlelight dinners for the inaugural, one of the major inaugural events, and that was for all of the major donors, the senators, the congressmen, and the Supreme Court justices. And it was a tremendous opportunity. I actually recreated Williamsburg, Virginia, at the top of the Kennedy Center, and it was absolutely a fabulous, fabulous event. Everybody loved it, and it now has become an institution, both on the Democratic side as well as on the Republican side. So it's always fun to see something you had an idea for become a success, and then it becomes institutionalized. So that was great.
Yes, Williamsburg is one of my favorite places in the country, so that must be absolutely wonderful. You worked in five different presidential administrations, so what kinds of changes did you see over time in interest in consumer safety issues? You already said how it all got started in the Reagan administration. What kinds of trends have you seen over that period?
Well, I would say we've seen a lot and many, many positive changes, Randy. If I look back to the Department of Agriculture, which is where I started, we instituted a lot of new things which are today really being highly sought after by consumers. For example, I thought it was really important that we have better food labeling. I thought it was extremely important that we have nutrition information on the product. And at that point, people laughed at me. They thought, oh, this is ridiculous. We don't need nutrition labeling on the product. If somebody wants nutrition information, they can go buy dietetic foods. And I said, that is also ridiculous. No, that's not what consumers want. They want to get the fat out of the meat. They want to get the salt out of the vegetables. They want to get the sugar out of the fruits. And they really want this on the label. And as a result of my persistence and working with the food industry, we were able to initiate nutrition labeling. So I was very proud of that. And the more effective it became at the retail level, the more the industry realized that this was a real consumer plus. Another thing that we initiated was better inspection of the meat and poultry. There had always been an inspection service, but I felt that needed to be strengthened, and that was strengthened. The meat and poultry, as you know, is regularly inspected today. All meat,
yes,
and all poultry is inspected. If you go to the fish area, that is not on the everything inspected list. If you look at fruits and vegetables, they are not all inspected. And this is a major, major issue that I think for the future, that we have got to have all of our food supply inspected, because that's why we've got so many foodborne illnesses today.
Yes, that's so exciting. I started teaching nutrition, taught myself in the early 70s and started teaching it at the end of the 70s. And it's so exciting, you know, because I was working for that food labeling and you were in Washington making it happen.
And
that's exciting.
Oh, my goodness. That's great. See, that's what I mean by if you come up with an idea, and I am a great advocate of one consumer, one citizen can make a difference if they just know how to use their power. And by working with the industry, with working with you, when you were at the grassroots level, I assume?
Yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely.
Parlaying the message, and by having the government sort of overseeing a lot of this, it really works. I'd like to see some of that in Washington today, but somehow we're going down the wrong path here.
Oh my! Well, that I've been teaching, you know, get the sugar and fat and salt out, and when they were able to see what was there, it made such a difference. That's so exciting.
Right.
I appreciate
in some
that.
Some of the other areas, you know, of course, we've got seat belts, we've got great new safety mechanisms on our cars, we've got the children's booster seats. Those are all new innovations that have all been very, very positive for the consumer and have saved a lot of injuries and a lot of deaths.
That's so cool. When we come back, we're going to talk about the number one issue facing parents. We have a commercial break, so please stay tuned.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. to access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RANDYROLFE.com. Your family will thank you.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back. We're speaking with the Honorable Nancy Harvey Stewarts, who is former chairperson of the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission and a recognized leader in the world on home safety issues and also school and workplace. And we've been talking about some of the amazing changes that she wrought in the White House to protect consumers. And what I wanted to ask you now, Nancy, is what would you say is the number one issue facing parents today in keeping their children safe?
Randy, I think the number one issue is that many parents are relying on other people who may not have the proper knowledge to take care of their children. That could be in a daycare center. It could be in a church where the child is going for Sunday school. It could be in their sports activities. It could be as they're bringing the brand new baby home from the nursery. There's so much new information. There are so many changes in the products that are in the marketplace that it's really, really important that consumers keep up with these changes. One area comes to mind, which is the area of cribs for the nursery. As of June 28th of this year, all of the cribs that have been made prior to June 28th have been classified as, frankly, not safe.
Wow.
Unless some changes are made. So think about all the daycare centers that have cribs that have not been changed, or think about all of the homes that have cribs in their homes. That may have been a crib that mom and dad slept in, or a crib that they brought from a flea market. Those products absolutely should be seriously looked at and changed if possible. And some of the changes that have, just as an example, some of the changes that have taken place on those cribs. And the reason there have been so many changes is that so many children have died in their cribs because they haven't been sturdy enough, the hardware hasn't been good enough, the mattress hasn't been tight enough, there have been finials or cutouts on them, all of which have been done away with. So the crib of today and tomorrow has been totally altered and is now meeting very, very stringent Consumer Product Safety Commission standards. If there are people that are listening that have cribs in their home, they may want to check that crib to make sure that it's secure, and also check the manufacturer of that crib to see what adjustments they've made and if they have any corrective actions that could be shared with this consumer as to how.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, I wasn't hearing you.
Oh, you didn't hear me?
Your last sentence.
You didn't hear about the. Let me just repeat. If one of your listeners has a product that is not new from June 28th, and I'm sure there's a lot of them, they should check the manufacturer of that product call that manufacturer, see what changes they have made to upgrade their products to make them safer. And because some of them do have some changes that can be shared with the consumers that will actually help in the sturdiness of the product.
My goodness, that's so important. There's so many different aspects of the crib that can affect the child. And I think more and more parents are so busy, they do seem to leave the children in cribs more. They're not carrying them around or putting them in little chairs around the house as much as they used to. So it's even more critical when the kids are left to themselves in their cribs. I think maybe more can go wrong.
That's right. And another example would be that a baby in a crib should be a baby without any covers over it, because they have found that the incident of SIDS has been much greater when there's blankets or sheets or pillows that are in the crib with the child. So it's much better to leave the child on its back in a nice little nightgown that's warm, but without anything else in. And that's also true for the toys, because what happens is these little kids can get their little heads caught in that merchandise and can suffocate. And that's why all of these new scenarios have been put to place.
Wow. Do you think parents are, or somebody tells them that they should keep up with these things? I think when once a grandparent buys a crib, they feel like, well, that's taken care of. Is there someone in the hospital who says, check out these products, or is there a line of information that will come to parents that will warn them to check out these things?
One area and one resource that I can give your listeners is CPSC.gov, that's Consumer Product Safety Commission.gov, and go in under nursery equipment, and they can pull down all of the good information about what they should have in the nursery. Also, they can look at any recalls that have been made of products that they have or could have in their home. And if there's a recall, then obviously they need to alert the manufacturer immediately and most likely either replace the product or have a an adjustment made to the product that'll make it safer. But this whole category of baby equipment has made major changes, and I think you'll even see more changes coming in the future, because there have been so many unnecessary injuries and deaths from equipment that frankly hasn't withstood the test of time. And again, if you look at a crib as an example, nobody ever thought it was going to go through two or three generations. But there's a nostalgia that sometimes takes place in this category area that people need to erase, because the crib of tomorrow is the crib that's going to be a lot safer.
That's a really important point, because so often there is a tradition and the grandparents want to use the baby crib they used, and it's not. We know more now.
Yes, we do.
That's great. I've met parents who are almost paranoid, going to the other end of the spectrum of being very worried. So I think that kind of resource that you just gave, this CPSC.gov, gives them an ability to actually check, what's going on in that area of safety. How do they avoid being paranoid?
That's right. And also, if they will go on my website, which is www.nationalsafetyexpert.com. I have a lot of really good information on that website, but I also have a resource list that they can use to go directly to the companies or the associations that deal with a lot of these general categories. My books also have chapters in them where I have really sort of put a lot of my expertise from all the work that I've done in the safety area together in three good books. The two that I would recommend would be The Safe Living in a Dangerous World and Your Home Safe Home, and look at everything they need to do, and I think it'll be a wonderful resource for them. And those are all on my website.
Fabulous. Yes, I've been to your website, and there's so much information there. It's very exciting, and I'm delighted to be able to introduce you to my listeners. Let's talk a little bit about nutrition. Obviously, you mentioned that you did so much in that respect when you were working with the Department of Agriculture and further when you worked with the CPSC. What advice do you give to parents who are confused by all the news about the dangers in foods? One day they're saying, you know, the wrong kind of fats. Another day there's poisons, there's lead in the honey. what advice can you give to parents about how to stay, to keep the confusion at a level they can tolerate?
Well, I think that people really need to be very conscientious about the food that they're buying and that they're giving their families, because there have been so many changes. Our food supply is coming in from all over the world. The countries around the world do not have the same standards that we have here in the United States. And so it's very, very important that you know, number one, where the food's coming from. Number two, you really have to be very, very diligent on how you're preparing this food, because there are many new rules, making sure that everything is washed thoroughly before you even begin to use it. Secondly, that hot foods are kept hot, cold foods are kept cold, and that you're, when you're cooking any kind of foods today, that needs to be done with a meat thermometer, so that you're cooking it to the proper proper temperature. In the past, Randy, we used to eat a lot of things like carpaccio or sushi or things like this, the raw fishes, the raw meats, and that is a big no-no, because you just have no idea what pathogens could be in those products that could be very, very serious to your health. And again, the food discussion needs to be talked to the family about, because I think if the children start understanding where their food comes from, you'll see today, I'm sure you're seeing it both in California and Pennsylvania, a lot of people are raising their own food in little gardens, and
yes.
That's great, because you know, number one, that there's only the pesticide on it that you might put on it, and most people aren't putting any pesticides on it. You're getting that fresh fruit or that fresh vegetable right off the vine or right off the tree, and it makes a huge difference. The other thing is they need to keep up with what the recalls are. I put out a release a few months ago to not buy eggs unless you knew the source of the egg, because after the huge recall that the Food and Drug Administration and Agriculture Department had, you could see that a lot of those eggs were contaminated with salmonella, and they were coming out of absolutely filthy hen houses, which is absolutely absurd. So right now, as an example, I will not buy eggs unless I know the farmer that I'm buying them from and how he's raising those chickens. And yes, I'm paying a little more money for them, but I know that those eggs are fresh, and I know that they have not been contaminated. And so that's just a rule of thumb that I use, and a lot of my friends are doing the same thing.
Yes, I do that myself, Nancy, and my sister actually has an inn in the Catskills, and she's now has her own chickens, and she's serving the fresh eggs. So it's really critical that people know the sources of their foods. And I love the emphasis on actually talking to your children, because you can get good habits of discrimination about their foods into them very early, and they really take to it. They're very interested in the foods you're putting in front of them, and relying on their parents is what they're programmed to do. So it is their parents' responsibility to know what's going on in the food supply. I think that's such an important point, that parents need to take back their control over the environment, over the food, over the crib, over the kinds of consumer products their children are exposed to. And I remember I emailed my kids about the turkey recall. Mm-hmm. That's a perfect example of what you were saying about the eggs, ground turkey they found that was contaminated. So people do need to keep their attention to the news and watch your website where this kind of news is. So please listen in. We'll be back with Nancy Stewart.
Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iRadioBlog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
The Total Education Network is the only network that airs shows 7 days a week on various stations. Please go to our website, www.totaltutor.org, for more information about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide educational news and tips for parents. The Total Education Network, the talk shop for parents, teachers, and administrators. That's www.totaltutor.org.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
We're speaking with the Honorable Nancy Harvey Stewart, who is former chairman of the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission and recognized leader in home safety, and has written three wonderful books that are a fabulous guide to how to keep your home and family safe. And we were just talking about nutrition and food and the challenges that we face with food coming in from all over the country, and some pretending that it came from the U.S. when it came from other places. And can you tell a little more about the cantaloupe story you were mentioning during the break, Nancy?
Yes, there was a major recall of cantaloupes that were grown in the Colorado area. And most people thought on the East Coast or on the West Coast, well, I don't have to worry about that because I don't come from Colorado. But if people know about the distribution chain of produce, that cantaloupe can go anywhere. And so maybe in some examples, the distribution chain would only be in the Midwest, but in other areas, it can go from, you know, a distributor in the Midwest and then to another distributor that's going to bring it East Coast or West Coast. And it's just very interesting. I was just reading in the papers today that there are several people now in the Maryland-Virginia area that have been affected by this cantaloupe that's coming out of the Colorado region. And that's just a very good example of, if there is a scare or a problem in one part of the country because of our distribution and the ability to get product from one place to the other so quickly, it's a time to be alerted that I guess I should not be eating this product at this particular time. And it was also very interesting in another story that they said that the question was, well, how would I get this foodborne illness? And it's as easy as putting a knife into the cantaloupe, and then the knife is infected, and then it goes to the fruit of the cantaloupe, and then the rest is history. So people really need to know about what's going on with this food supply and to be very, very conscientious of what is happening. If they would go to FDA.gov, they can actually get alert of all of the recalls that are coming forth from the food chain. It's very frightening, to be honest with you, but it also gives you an idea of what you need to avoid when there's a recall. You go to FDA.gov and ask to be put on the recall list.
Wow, that's a very valuable information. Well, I know we could talk about the food the rest of the hour, but I want to move on to when children go off to school, parents feel fairly safe that their children are going to be taken care of there. What should we be aware of in safety in school and on the playing field?
Great question. The sports area, of course, is everybody's love as far as kids are going to school. It's very important that the parents be involved in what's happening on the field. You need to know what kind of equipment is being used. You need to know if it's soccer, how strong are those goalposts. If it's football, how good are the helmets that these kids are wearing, and everything that relates to the safety of your child. And also the exercises that they're undergoing. Just a couple of months ago at West Point, a young man died because of an exercise program that he was undergoing in the heat of the summer. And he just collapsed, and unfortunately he died. And I think he was like 18 or 19 years old, a young man from the East Coast. But you cannot take this for granted. You need to know the coaches. You need to know what they're going through. And you also need to know that your children are safe. As far as playgrounds are concerned, that's another area that parents really need to be involved with. I did a program in Texas a couple of years ago on playground safety. And I actually went out to a playground and looked at it from a safety perspective, and it was absolutely the unsafest playground I'd ever been in. And the thing is that kids can die at unsafe playgrounds. And so, I mean, in this particular case, the slide was dilapidated. Any child could get their clothing caught in it, and they could strangle to death. The swings were all unsafe. The layer of protective equipment, not protective equipment, but the protection that they have down on the ground had all been washed away, and it was totally unsafe. And I told them, you're going to have 24 hours to get this place cleaned up, and they did. They came in and just totally took everything down, and also it was a great example of PTA involvement because they went out and raised money from the community and put in a whole new playground. But the playground is a very serious potential safety development. And a lot of times they just let them go and kids go and have fun, and all of a sudden they either have a horrible accident or some very, very serious problems can take place.
Yeah, I know it's they've gotten so aware in the professional games about the concussions, especially in football. And I know young athletes who are playing as hard as the professionals with far less protective equipment and far less awareness of what the limits of their bodies are. And it's quite frightening to have to put a high school child that you've raised 12 years and then they have some horrible accident. It can be devastating. Well, it is devastating when it happens to the family.
Exactly. And the protective equipment is very, very critical. A child can't just have one helmet and that's it. I mean, they have to have a helmet. And as their head grows and as their body grows, that needs to be checked, regularly every single year to make sure that it still works, that it's still safe, and that it is being used properly. And that's the same thing as what's going on in the playing field. But this would be a great opportunity for your family members who are PTA folks and community involved folks, because those can be some great programs that the communities can get behind and really upgrade the equipment and make sure that those students of the future are going to be very, very safe.
That's great advice. I have a question about bikes. I see a lot of people are taking to their bikes, trying to be responsible with their exercise, but often I see they have little children on the bikes, and there must be some serious dangers there.
I agree with you. And sometimes you'll see the child with a helmet that's not even on the on the head properly, and mom and dad without helmets.
Yes.
Now, how bad is that? I mean, we have to set the example as parents. So whenever riding a bike, you need to have the protective equipment on your arms, on your legs, and certainly on your heads. But some of those little, little papooses that they put behind the bike?
Yes.
You know, I don't think they're safe at all.
I would agree with you. Now, moving on, when the children, a lot of kids are starting jobs a lot earlier than in my generation, and what should a parent be aware of in those cases, Nancy?
Well, I think that the employer of wherever the student's going to be working, the employer needs to be checked out just as thoroughly as the potential employee is being checked out. See what kind of standards they have. See what that work environment is like. Also, if the student is actually starting a job as part of a career, then they really need to know what their advancement opportunities are. And they need to do a lot of research to make sure that this is absolutely the right environment with the right people that are going to help the student move forward. And many times, some good internships with very reputable companies is a great way to check that out. And I know that I have used a lot of interns in my own business. And many times they can get some great internships. Sometimes they're paid, sometimes they're not, but it also gives them an idea as to whether, is this a place that I'd like to work? Is this a career I'd like to, you know, work towards? Are these people the kind of people that I want to be around? In other words, is my skill set going to work for this particular area of involvement? Those are all questions that I think can be answered, but I think the internship is a great way to go for a lot of students. And the internships really pay off when it's time to come on out and graduate and then start looking for the first big job.
Sure, having that experience is good. People are so desperate for jobs they forget that their whole life could be affected by a safety issue in their
mm-hmm.
job environment. Switching gears now from the kids, many people are concerned about elderly relatives, parents that are getting up there. What are some risks that people should look at? Maybe if they're their parents are downsizing or moving to a retirement community?
Well, this is an area that is really growing very, very rapidly. Some of our senior citizens are deciding they want to stay in place. And if by stay in place means that they want to stay in their home, then we need to senior-proof those homes. We need to make sure that there's railings on every stair, whether it be just one stair or whether it be a whole set of stairs, that there's proper lighting, that the rugs are all double taped so that they can't slide, that the bathrooms are senior-proofed as far as the bathtub is concerned. Sometimes in my real estate business, I see that people will actually take out and change the tub to a stand-up shower or a sit-down shower. And that will work very, very nicely. And it gives them the security that they can still take the shower but be safe by sitting down in it. The flooring also is very important. I don't think people realize, Randy, how important that flooring is, because it's so easy to slip on some of the new flooring that is being put in place today, like the marble floors, even the wood floors, if they've got a slick surface on them. For a senior that falls, that could be a broken hip, and that could be just a very, very devastating situation. If a senior is thinking about going into a senior assisted living area, this really needs to be checked out thoroughly.
Let's get back to that. We have a commercial break coming up, but so stay tuned. We'll hear more about how to take care of our elderly.
Looking for exciting video content live and on demand? Visit www.voiceamerica.tv for exclusive content you just can't find anywhere else. That's voiceamerica.tv. Tune in now.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back. We're speaking with the Honorable Nancy Harvey Stewarts, who's the former chairman of the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission and recognized leader in home safety issues. And it's just been fascinating conversation so far. We were talking about taking care of our elderly. We talked a lot about how to keep the home safe, but there's so much more. Please go to her website and all the resource sections and get a hold of Nancy's books. We were going to talk about families that have are facing the problem of finding a good senior place for their aging parents. And you were saying it's such a growing field right now because so many baby boomers and their parents are getting into that stage. What are your suggestions there that we need to look out for when we're trying to help our parents?
This is an area, Randy, of looking at different types of senior homes. That's really important, and this really needs to be a family discussion. As you know, I'm in the real estate business, and I do help a lot of seniors downsize and go forward into another type of living. It's extremely important that both generations talk about this because the children of the seniors can be very helpful in guiding the parents. I don't like to see parents that are going into senior living do this on their own because things need to be checked out very thoroughly. You need to know what the facilities are. You need to know what the costs are. The senior may be fine going into an assisted living situation where, you know, they're pretty free to do pretty much the same things that they did in their home. But then if it happens that they get ill or that they need more advanced care, you got to be sure that the community development that they're going into has the ability to handle that next level of care. Some people have found once they've moved that the facility did not have it, so then they have to move again, and that's just so very disruptive to any senior. So that's very, very critical. And you also need to know if they're promising something to the future that indeed they're going to deliver. And I found that with one of my clients that they thought they were going to have more advanced care for the second stage, and then they decided, no, they weren't going to do that. So they'd already taken the people's money, and that was a very, very difficult situation. Fortunately, we were able to get the money back, and they were able to go someplace else. But that's why I think that people need to talk about these things. It's very critical that children and parents talk about, I shouldn't use the word children, I should say adult children and parents should talk about these things in a very business-like manner, because everybody needs to participate so you get the right place for the right situation.
So it's just like you were saying earlier, that we just can't rely on others. We can't say, well, this is a nice looking senior community. I guess all the regulations have taken care of safety issues, and let's move in. They really have to take responsibility for investigating and seeing that everything they expect is really going to be delivered.
That's absolutely right. And then also, they should talk to their realtor about this as well. I would recommend that they find a realtor who really understands working with seniors, that they're not just looking at the sale of that home as just one more commission, that they look at helping that senior really decide what they're going to do next, and they do it in a very thoughtful, caring, an informative manner, rather than just selling the house so that they can downsize.
Yeah, it's so important. And again, it's that intergenerational talk. We talked about parents should discuss the nutrition issues with their kids, and the parents need to talk to their own parents about what they're going through as retiring seniors. So there's so much about communication and staying informed and taking responsibility. It's really critical. I wanted to ask you, Nancy, how much can we rely on the government to keep up with reports of problems and checking products before they come on the market and keeping up with the necessity for recalls?
Well, the government is a catalyst, if you will, for really overseeing a lot of the marketplace. But they are only one of the catalysts. The consumer really has to be responsible to review the products they're buying, make sure that they're buying safe products, make sure that they have all the necessary standards, and that they know what they're going to do before they're buying. If a problem comes forth from a product, then a consumer really needs to take action. One consumer can make a difference. It doesn't take hundreds or thousands. It can be one. And if they find a product that is not meeting their standards, they can report that to the Consumer Product Safety Commission. And if they go to cpsc.gov, there's a new program of reporting that the individual consumers can do, which is really terrific. And then the second thing is, if they find that there's a problem that's causing some problems and it's food-related, then they go to fda.gov. And then also another problem that's in some of the other areas, that's a Federal Trade Commission problem, they need to report it to any one of their authorities. That makes a huge difference. But if there is a serious problem, if there's been a bad injury or an unfortunate death, consumers must take action. They can't just sit back and say, I can't deal with this, it's just unfortunate. They have to do something about it, because that one report can make a huge difference for all the consumers that are coming behind them. Because usually if there's one problem, it's not just one, it's probably a lot of problems in that product.
Yes, or maybe one person dying, but a whole lot of other people getting injured, for
exactly.
Sure. So we're nearing the end of the show, so I want to make sure we get out information about how to get hold of your books and your website. And you mentioned you have senior clients, you do real estate as well, so you can help people make that transition. So you can give your contact information, if you would, Nancy.
I'll be glad to. My website is www.nationalsafetyexpert.com. That's nationalsafetyexpert.com. And there's also some information that you can put on there so that I can keep in touch with you. I'm always updating that on a regular basis. My books, Safe Living in a Dangerous World is one, and the other one is Your Home Safe Home. Those can be ordered right off of the website. And those books are just full of wonderful information that I think your people would be very, very helpful.
They I'm sure. And you also have a regular TV segment in the D.C. region?
I do. I do a lot of national TV segments. As a matter of fact, one of my new areas of expertise is the weather. And I've been doing a lot of work on the weather-related issues because there have been so much, there's been so much devastation over the last several months on the weather-related issues. So I have a chapter in the book on that as well. I do a lot of work with Fox and CBS, and I'm on different segments all over the country. I do a lot of radio, a lot of television. I also do a lot of writing as well. But I try to keep people up to date on my website. And
yeah, I noticed that you had information about how to prepare yourself for some of these weather-related disasters that are hitting more areas every year, it seems.
Yeah, I did, and they're going to get worse because I'm doing a program in Washington Monday and Tuesday on natural disasters with the Deputy Director of the National Weather Service, and it's going to be a real eye-opener because, as she said, it's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse, but people are going to have to decide where they are going to live because the weather isn't going to change, but where they live can change, and I thought that was very interesting.
That's very really, powerful.
Yeah, very powerful. So if they go on the weather on the website, they can hear read about the weather-related issues. But there's also one other in closing. I have also put a tips on looking at your insurance policy to see if you've got the right coverage.
Ah, that's so important. Well, on that note, we're going to have to say goodbye, but you've given out so much great information and great resources, so I hope our listeners will take advantage of all that. And thank you so much for being on the show, Nancy.
You're so welcome. It's my pleasure, Randy.
Thanks again.
You're welcome.
We hope you've enjoyed Family First. Please tune in to our program every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, to join your host, Randy Rolfe, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. The weekend is here. Enjoy it with your family. And we hope to see you here next week.